Connectability Radio presents the DSTO Information Sessions, held May 12, 2008. Navigating Developmental Services in Toronto, presented by Karen Farber, Jennifer Hassard, and Greg Shields.
Good morning. Welcome. My name is Don Walker. I'm an executive director for New Visions Toronto, which is one of the 32 agencies that provides support to people in Toronto. It's my pleasure to act as a moderator for Navigating Developmental Services in Toronto. Karen Farber, one of the access facilitators, is here. Jennifer Hassard will join us in a few minutes. And Craig Shields, assistant planner. You can see we're a very coordinated system today. We try hard. We didn't phone each other this morning.
You'll notice that Don isn't sweating. I got here at 8 with the water. So
we're going to spend about a half an hour with the presentation, and then there'll be a period of time for some questions and answers. And I'm here basically for crowd control.
Developmental Services in Toronto is in the midst of a very interesting experiment. We're trying to connect the users of service with the providers of service and the funder of service to strengthen the services and supports we provide in Toronto. We call this the Developmental Services Toronto Partnership, or just DS for Developmental Services TO. So you'll notice on our brochure now, it's DSTO. The website for the sector is DSTO.com and so on. So we have a shared goal. For me, the important part of this statement to improve the lives of adults with developmental disabilities today and into the future is it doesn't just focus on services. A lot of people think that the collaboration is just about services. But in fact, in things like planning, we're interested in the well-being generally of adults with developmental disabilities and a variety of things that fall beyond our sector in terms of developmental services like housing, income, health, and mental health. So this may be more than you need to know about the Toronto Partnership, but it does translate into the way we do business in terms of providing information and processing requests for services and access to service. The partnership actually operates at sort of three levels. The foundation level, which is really the agencies that provide the services and supports, looks after the provision of what we call coordinated information, but information about developmental services and related sectors, and processes requests for services, provides some brief supports, and so on. That all happens at what we call the services and supports level, and that's a collaborative process, and Jennifer and Karen are going to describe the collaborative process in a minute. But there's another interesting layer, I say it's interesting because it's the layer I provide support to, that's looking at bigger picture issues. And it has two principal groups, one comprised of people who use services and the other comprised of people who deliver services. And the sector level, as we call it, focuses on four major themes: centralized communications for the sector. I should have mentioned, I think Karen referred to that there are 30 plus. There are actually 32 agencies funded by the Ministry of Community and Social Services to provide developmental services in Toronto. And therein lies some of the challenges, and one of the reasons that we've gone into this partnership is because for you to navigate the system, if you had to know about 32 agencies, that's kind of overwhelming. So you'll hear when we describe the actual approach to processing requests for service that it's you can knock on any one of those 32 doors and get what you need. But the other areas that we're working on at this second level or the sector level, communications, the website falls under that, the brochure that's up here if you haven't seen it, the biannual newsletters, as well as the information fair, that's all part of our sector level communications activity. We also do data collection and planning. We're just starting to prepare for a change in ministry expectations in terms of access centers or application centers in the province. And we also have a group that focuses on improving quality. We just, in this last year, did a review of the new passport initiative in Toronto, and we did a review under Don and a co-chair's guidance of our approach to providing information and processing requests for services. The third level that I didn't mention, We actually have an overarching group that is made up of all 32 agencies at the executive director level and the board president level, along with our consumer-based council and the Ministry of Community and Social Services, represented at the highest level for Toronto Region, which is the regional director, Marilyn Renwick. So this is the group that oversees the sort of health and development of this partnership. So at the sector level, which is the big picture level, I'm going to talk about that, and then I'm going to hand off, and Karen and Jennifer are going to talk about the more practical getting information and getting connected stuff. But just so you know, there, and this is all part of the collaboration strategy, there is a formal group that is made up of individuals with developmental disabilities, adults with developmental disabilities, there are four or more at times, family members, usually parents, but we at the moment on council have a sibling of an individual with developmental disabilities, community members from agencies, boards of directors, and four community members, as well as myself and representatives from the Ministry of Community and Social Services. And the council is intended to promote the voice of people who use services. The council has a kind of co-equal group that's made up of the 32 agencies, usually at the executive director level. And this group oversees many of the collaborative approaches, like what you're going to hear in terms of intake and information and so on, as well as participates with the council in those broader activities like planning and data collection and communications. So this is the segue now to Karen's section, but if you want to get connected to services, developmental services in Toronto, I mentioned earlier this coordinated approach. Basically what happens is all 32 of our developmental services agencies should be able to respond to your inquiries about what's out there in the way of services and how to get connected. And if you're interested in applying for services, they should be able to take the information that they need to get that process started. And so this is the collaborative approach that we call integrated response, because for the 32 agencies, it's an attempt to coordinate our response to your requests. Karen, do you want to?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the integrated response process.
Sure.
Really, Craig's mentioned a bit, but a call to any one of the 32 partner agencies gets you connected with either information that you're looking for or the services you're looking for. All staff taking the calls provide you with the same information. So this is a change in the past when you call around to different agencies and get different information from different staff. And really, that's the coordinated information piece of integrated response. There's also an upfront assistance provided to those people who are eligible for service, and it gives you information about upfront information while you're waiting for longer-term services. If you have access to the internet, you could go on the website, which is www.dsto.com, and look under Agency Programs and Services, and there you can find descriptions of all the services available to you at the 32 partner agencies. To either inquire or apply, you can call anyone, as I've mentioned, and the person answering the call, or if they can't, they'll put you on to somebody at the agency who will process your request. People sometimes walk in and the same thing can happen if you walk into an agency, but all this can be done over the phone. And once you've completed the request for service, which is really, they just take some very basic information from you, you'll have the option of being either connected directly to a lead agency, I'm going to talk a little bit about that later, or being connected to what we call the interim support team. The interim support team is there because many services and supports in Toronto have lengthy waiting lists. The interim support was created to provide some immediate support to people while they waited for longer term services. This often takes place in your home, this visit. If you don't want it in your home, it can be done at an office or a mutually convenient location. The interim support visit can include things like helping getting connected to community programs and services. It also can provide you with information on government programs, like special services at home, ODSP, passport, and help you to complete those applications. other things that are provided during that visit, government funding options that I mentioned, day activities are now being called community participation supports. It's a more inclusive terms for if there's programs offered, if the women's group offered once a week. You know, day program didn't really fit the bill in terms of describing that. But they can tell you what's out there in terms of these day activities or community participation. They'll talk about the residential services offered and what's available in Toronto. They'll talk about respite options, specialized supports. An example of specialized supports might be speech and language, occupational therapy, counseling, behavior. Those are some of the examples. Now, I referred earlier to a lead agency when you call being connected directly to a lead. Now, a lead agency is really at the end of this process, this interest report process, you'll be asked to identify a lead. So a lead will be one of the 32 agencies, and they will be your contact for the future because the person doing the interim support visit is really there for a limited period of time. Your request and the information collected during that visit will be forwarded to the lead agency. You'll get a letter from the lead agency telling you they're your lead agency. Lead agencies have four main roles, and one is ensuring that you're registered for the right services, acting on your behalf when a service that you've requested or support becomes available. An example of this might be if you're waiting for a residential space, say it's an apartment, and your name's put forward, the lead agency will call you and let you know that you're being considered for this vacancy. Same with a day vacancy, they'll call you for that. Or if it's a case management you're waiting for, they'll call you for that. They provide you with a point of contact should your circumstances change. So if a situation in your family changes, if you move, things like that. So you have a point of contact, and it's one agency and hopefully one person, or it's coordinated to that agency who you'll speak to. The other thing is they keep you informed on really sector-wide activities. And what we have is a newsletter, and when you in your bags, you'll have a copy of our most recent newsletter. It's published in the spring and the fall. So at a minimum, you should get that from your lead agency as the newsletter twice a year. Now, who's eligible? Eligibility, there's really four main criteria. You have to have a developmental disability, albeit confirmed or suspected, 16 years or older. And while somebody asked earlier about what age is it for adult services, and really to go into an adult services service, it's 18. But to apply, many places will let you apply at 16. And for this process, you're eligible at 16. So people can come out if you want to do some transition planning with your son or daughter, if they're, you know, you're thinking about as they're aging, as they're getting older. You have to live in Toronto. You have to be a Toronto resident. And you have to be new to the adult developmental services. So that means you're not already connected with one of the 32 agencies. The other thing I was going to add about the last slide, if they tell you, well, you're not new, you can go back to your agency and they can find out who your lead agency is if you're not sure. And you can go to your lead agency and they will sit down and explain things to you. And just before I pass it over to Jen, I was just going to let you know about the services in Toronto are divided into two different categories. There's those that you can access directly. You don't need to go through a lead, or you can just call directly. It's respite, it's crisis, and it's specialized supports. And then there's those that require the involvement of a lead. So really, the lead has to put your name on some kind of a waiting list. And these tend to be the longer-term services that you're waiting for. Case management, community participation or day supports, and residential services. And Jennifer's going to go over and talk a little bit about all these services and explain them.
So I'm going to talk about some of the different services that are offered. I'm just going to quickly go through them. If you have questions at the end, please let me know and the three of us can try and answer them. So as Karen said, there's three services that you don't need a lead agency for. So you can call any of the 32 agencies directly and they can help you out. The first one is respite services, and it provides temporary relief and support for families from the demands involved in caring for a family member. Sometimes it's weekend, sometimes it's Saturday during the day, it may be weeknight as well. And that's something that you don't need a lead agency for. So you can deal with respite services, which is respiteservices.com, or you can call any of the 32 agencies directly and they can help you out with finding out what kind of respite services would be most helpful. There's usually a cost to respite services, and again, it varies depending on what agency that you're dealing with. The other thing I just wanted to say at Respite Services, is that the access, respiteservices.com is one of the agencies that can assist you with Respite Services. They have what's called Access Facilitators. We have that title as well, but they have another group of people called Access Facilitators, and they can help you out with short-term kind of service coordination in order to assist you in setting up respite. They can also help you out with filling out forms for special service at home, that kind of thing. So again, you can call them directly or any of the 32 agencies, and they can help you out with that. Crisis services as well is a service that you can get directly. You don't need a lead agency. The Griffin Community Support Network is an agency and a service. They provide time-limited crisis support to individuals that are 16 and over, and they have to have a developmental disability, or they can also have a dual diagnosis, which would be a developmental disability, as well as additionally it can be a mental health diagnosis, it can be behavioral, it can be like an increase in behavioral issues, that kind of thing. So there does need to be a dual, there can be a dual diagnosis. And again, you can call them directly if you have any questions about that. So also through the Griffin Community Support Network, they have a couple of transitional services. They have a program at George Brown College, which is a transitional community participation or day support. It's out of George Brown, out of the St. James campus, and it's up to, I think it's up to 2 years that you can be a part of that. It's not a diploma course, but it does happen at the college, so it's quite inclusive to the college. So if you have questions, you can call the Griffin Community Support Network. They also have two residential that are specialized beds as well that are transitional. But again, if you have questions about any of those, you can call the Griffin Community Support Network directly. And to access Griffin, you're going to call between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. You can call Griffin Community Support Network. And if the crisis is happening, clearly crises don't happen only during the day. If it's 9 p.m. to 9 a.m., the Gerstein Center is also a partner agency that will answer the phone anytime after that.
And I believe they give the number of the Gerstein Center. You only have to call Griffin, and they'll be given.
Yeah, that's true. They do. When you call, the message you'll get will include the Gerstein Center phone number. Absolutely. So the last support that you can get without having a lead agency, so you can call any of the 32 agencies directly, is you can through specialized support. And again, as Karen said, some of those are speech and language, audiology, occupational therapy, counseling, behavior therapy, and you can call any of the agencies and they can send you in the right direction of what agency might be able to help you with the specialized support. So there are now three services that you do need to have a lead agency for, and part of the reason for needing a lead agency is that there are wait lists that you're going to get put on, and you need to be represented by a lead agency. One of the first ones is case management. So case management has some different names. Some people call it service coordination. It might be a family service worker. It might be an adult protective service worker. As you you may know, there's lots of short forms. So some are called FSWs. Some you might have heard APSWs. They work with individuals and their families to create networks of support, consisting of people who are important in their lives. They will also create a plan, so it's a plan to achieve goals. It's very goal-focused and very time-limited, but the advantage is that when a goal has been achieved and when the service has been closed, if there are additional goals that are found in the future, you can always reactivate it and you can reapply for case management services. In the past, there used to be a very long wait list, and because of the interim support visits and that process, the wait list has gotten much shorter, and some of the things like filling out special service at home forms and some of that stuff can be done at the interim support visit. So the more goal focused work can be done through case management, so the wait list has significantly decreased. And again, how to access case management is you're going to call if you already have a lead agency, then you can call your lead agency and ask them for information. If you don't, you can call any of the 32 agencies if you're new to the system. So community participation or day supports. Again, as Karen said, it's a variety of social recreational training activities. They usually take place during the day, but in the past, it used to look like just day activities, like kind of a day program, a sheltered workshop. It's become really varied. As Karen said, it could be a women's group that runs weekly. It could be a full-time day program. It could be a social group that's one day a week, a vocational program that's 2 days a week. So it's very much geared to the person and looking at finding a good fit for the person. So again, how to access those, you're going to call your lead agency and ask about information on community participation supports or day supports, or if you're new to the system, you can call any of the 32 agencies. Residential supports. So there are a couple of different types of residential supports in the system. There are group homes, which are low support to high support, anywhere from 7 hours a day support to up to 24 hours awake overnight support. So there would be someone there 24 hours a day. There's also SIL supports, which are supported independent living. Those are more independent. They're apartments. They may be shared apartments. They may be a group living situation. So there's other apartments that people with developmental disabilities are in, and then there may be one apartment that the staff are working in. So they're independent, but they still have some kind of support, so they're not completely on their own. And again, they have anywhere from 3 hours a week support up to 20 hours a week of support, so it really varies. And there is a centralized access for all residential supports, and if you have a lead agency, you can call your lead agency and ask what the process is for residential supports, or you can call any of the 32 agencies, and they'll be able to direct you on what to do. And that's it. And again, just a reminder that the www.dsto.com is the website. That's okay. Is the website. It's a great website as far as getting information. You can use keywords, you can use agency names, you can use program names, and there's lots of information to get if you're having a hard time getting someone in person, or you just want to get some general information on agencies, on programs, that kind of thing.
So that concludes the presentation. Thank you, Karen and Jennifer. Great.